There's 50 billion rands at stake, and that's too much money for a corrupt country. So when you have that scale of money, you must accept that there is going to be massive dysfunctionality and theft. Okay?
All right.
The territory. And it started in 1991 as a 21 million rand scheme. It is now, as I said, next year it will be over 50 billion, serving 1.1 million students in universities and TVETs. You can't fix that, okay, in the current structure. And there's no indication that the minister can or will change the current centralized structure of NSFAS. That's the problem.
And in terms of, if we were to look how this fund has evolved over the years, and I mean, you just gave us some stats over there, it sounds as though, you know, even though there were changes in certain aspects of the model, the question whether or not this has worsened systemic issues or not still remains, I suppose.
Yeah, so, you know, as I said, you can't fix a system like this with the current model. So now the minister says he's going to have a task team. How many task teams is this for that? It was twice placed under administration. It still has no permanent CEO. Okay. And so the hubris is quite astounding on the part of the minister. I'm going to fix NSFAS, and I quote, in the next 3 months, we will stabilize it. Well, please call me Voice of the Cape in 3 months. And yep. I can tell you now, it will be continue to be stuck in this mess. So I have solutions for this thing that I've proposed in the past, but nothing short of completely demolishing the current model is going to bring the students relief.
Now, let's talk about that, because, gathering from what you're saying is that it's not obviously sustainable under the current the approach and the model that is currently being implemented. And I'm going to kind of agree with you as well, Prof. You know, you say within 3 months' time, we're going to be having a ministerial committee or whatever the case might be. It just seems like this is all money-wasting things, just like lip-syncing. And there's just no sort of concrete stuff that is being put forward as a method of moving forward with the system, but you mentioned some of the options that you had put down, for them to consider to make it a little bit more feasible or viable.
Oh yeah, so I have long proposed that you shouldn't keep this money in a centralized fund, because that's where the corruption happens. Okay, and we now have enough evidence that if you have this volume of money, the vultures circle. We have to understand that. So I said, decentralize this model completely. Give the money to the universities with the capacity to manage that volume of funding for their own studies, for their own students. So what does that mean? It means that when a student comes to the NSFAS office at WITS or UCT or Stellenbosch, those universities will say, we got the money from the government. Tomorrow morning it will show up in your account. And off you go. At the moment, because the universities wait for the money, the students then take it out on the universities as if they the problem, right? And then you have these protests, and it happens every single year since this first was established, right? So that's the way to deal with it. And for those universities, we know who they are, who don't have the financial and managerial capacity to manage this, decentralize and give them the capacity with external consultants to be able to manage that locally. But you cannot put this amount of money in a central office and expect it to be efficiently transferred to 1.1 million students every single year. It doesn't happen. So I work with students, for example, and I literally pay out of my own pocket and beg other friends of mine to tie these students over in the first 3 months. If you're poor and working class, in those 3 months, if you don't get the money, you drop out. Unless somebody, sort of mends the net in the meantime. So this is a cruel system. It's a cruel system precisely because there is money, but it is not efficiently transferred to the student.
And also the management, even under the current model as well, that has been also, you know, in the spotlight. So whether or not, if you look at the criteria in terms of whether people meet those criteria, you know, sometimes learners are accepted to universities. They know that NSFAS is going to be paying out. NSFAS, like you mentioned, you know, you know, they've got their own issues that they're dealing with. It's coming through. The students are taking it out on the universities. It's this ripple effect that is currently happening. And I've always wondered, and I haven't done, you know, enough reading or research in terms of what the education sector, higher education sector, look like in other countries compared to South Africa.
Yeah, in other countries, first of all, you don't have this. Certainly other African countries, you don't have always have the size of the sector that we have in terms of students, but also importantly, they have a much more efficient system for funding students. So they don't keep it in a central fund and then decide how and when to send it through to students. So this is much. Just imagine you have first. Let's say you have 3,000 first year students at UWC, for example. Do you know how easy it is to manage them? To check whether they qualify on the spot, right? And to give them the money in the same week. It's very easily done. I've been a university vice chancellor. It can be done at that level if you have the necessary oversight. But you can't have a system. Now again, we don't want to talk about this, but there's a reason why it is kept centrally, because that's how you feed. There's a feeding system, a corruption feeding system. And unless you understand that logic of why government won't decentralize, you'll never get to solve this problem.
Right. There are so many questions that are hanging at the moment that I so much want to engage with you on as well. Like, for example, you at face, you know, you're in it in every day, you know, you see the needs of the students. You probably also know, you know, whether or not certain students would qualify or whether or not they can afford. You know, the criteria in terms of how the current model is working, do you think that is also feasible? You know, besides the fact about the centralized point for the monies and all of that, but I mean the criteria. Do you think enough investigation is being done to ensure that the most deserving students are the ones that are actually getting it?
Yeah, I think if you're among the poorest of the poor, you'll get the money eventually, right? In most cases. The problem is that old problem of the missing middle, right? So the system is quite brutal in excluding those students. So, for example, I work with a family that's got three kids at university at the same time. The parents just earn over the 350,000 threshold. And how do you cater for those parents? You know, they've got three kids to feed. That's the first problem. The other problem is a societal one. Remember, a lot of these young people, and I know this for a fact, they will get the money. It might not be much. And then they also try to support the family, okay, just to be able to eat, for example. This has gone on, by the way, even under the apartheid government. You know, we used to use our bursaries to help support the family as well. So there's a problem, first of all, of efficiency, but there's also a problem of adequacy. Is there enough money, okay, to be able to give that student at university? And then how do we deal with the shortfalls in the families, the poverty in families where they are, to whom they are connected?
Right.